This is CBS Eye on the World. I welcome Chris Livesay of CBS News, foreign correspondent. He is in Delhi. His reporting from Delhi is shocking at the same time. It is the face of the pandemic as it lifts in North America for now, as it lifts in Europe for now. It has taken hold of the subcontinent, especially the large cities. Chris is in Delhi. Chris, a very good day to you. You're reporting about the crematorium being overwhelmed and the furnaces melting and moving the facilities out to a parking lot. We have a story today in America saying the crematorium workers are the brave, unrecognized, low-wage warriors of this battle against the pandemic, because the corpses are, of course, dangerous and they must be honored, but they also have to be dealt with in the tens of thousands. Please explain to us where you've been these last days. We last talked 72, 96 hours ago, and your film reporting is continuing shocking. Although I tell you, Chris, you do get used to it after a while. It's as if you've wandered into a story being told, and the narrator is promising you'll be a happy ending, but so far I can't find one. Good day to you, Chris.
Good day to you too, John. I couldn't agree more. It's been kind of a blur ever since I touched down here about a week ago, and I have a hard time remembering exactly which day is which. But yes, we have been at these crematories and seen these shocking scenes of them running 24/7. In fact, I was there again today. And speaking of these unsung heroes, you have the workers at the crematories themselves. You also have these volunteer undertakers, for lack of a better word. Now, they travel around in ambulances and they collect the dead. I mean, I hear that phrase come out of my mouth and it sounds like we're in the Middle Ages. It sounds like we're talking about a plague, and that's really what this is, especially in India, which is experiencing its biggest crisis since partition. These ambulance drivers, it's sort of a misnomer. Even though they are indeed ambulances, they're not going to carry the well or the sick. They're going to carry the dead, and specifically those who die in the poorest areas of New Delhi, who cannot afford to have a proper cremation or even prepare the body. These volunteers actually risk their lives going to collect the dead, but also to prepare them for religious cremation rituals according to the Hindu and Sikh religions in particular. These are expensive in normal times for poor people, and let alone when when people are already devastated by this pestilence. And so you have these heroic volunteers going out there and collecting the bodies and comforting the bereaved. It's really a moving scene. And so in addition to these cremations taking place 24/7, you also have these unsung heroes who are also working around the clock.
Your reporting also pointed to the fact that people are leaving Delhi. And the concern is, and this is historical, that the concern is that when they leave the cities and go to the countryside, they find no refuge. And there's the very strong risk that they've taken the pandemic with them. Has that exodus from Delhi continued? And is there any attempt to stop it? Or is there any attempt by the villages in the smaller cities to block it? That's what happened in the original SARS pandemic at the beginning of this century. Roadblocks were put up.
Well, to an extent, yes, you do have states that are locking down. Unfortunately, it's not everywhere in the country. I mean, I say unfortunately, referring to people like Dr. Anthony Fauci and leading epidemiologists who are calling for lockdowns specifically in the more rural areas of India, in which we have no idea exactly how far and wide this disease is spreading. That's really the scary thing. In fact, I was having a conversation just today with a leading epidemiologist here in India about the fact that the number of deaths and the number of new infections nationally they're still rising by shocking numbers every day, but not quite as quickly, at least for the past 2 days, as it had been for the previous 2 or 3 weeks. And I asked him, you know, is this a sign of hope. And he said, not at all. Now, it's a good thing because it reflects that the lockdown in places like New Delhi has been working. The problem is there is no lockdown in many other places in India, specifically the rural areas. And there we have absolutely no idea how many infections or how many COVID-related deaths there have been. So these numbers only reflect the places where people are actually paying attention. And so by that, he means they're meaningless. Unfortunately, we just have no idea how many people are getting sick and how many people are dying. And the best estimate says that we're going to have 1 million deaths by August. So in fact, we're not going to even start to see the curve start to flatten, perhaps until that long. That's according to the epidemiologist, the World Health Organization, the Lancet Journal. So it's extremely grim right now, and it's especially terrifying because there's just no reliable way of monitoring these numbers. The numbers are extremely underreported, and by the best estimates, according to experts in the United States, it could be 5 to 10 times higher than what the state of India is reporting.
The hospitals, your reports say the hospitals have long lines. There's a desperate need for oxygen. There was a report, it's an anecdote, but it's striking that there was a request to Nepal to bring oxygen that is usually stored for the climbers in the Himalayas to send that to India. Is there any indication that the oxygen shortage has abated? Have supplies reached India from overseas? Any information about that, Chris?
Unfortunately, it's all anecdotal. On the ground, people are still suffocating to death or dying for lack of oxygen. Now, because this alarm has been sounded for a couple of weeks by now, international aid is arriving, and we are starting to see the impact. That's both on the part of state, the United States itself has donated oxygen, but also private citizens, private donors, free enterprise, they've responded to this cry for help. In fact, we just did a story for CBS News, for CBS This Morning, all about one aid group in particular called Oxygen for India. In fact, you can go to oxygenforindia.org to learn more about their incredible work. It's a grassroots effort, mostly made up of people in the Indian diaspora in the United States, people from the tech sector and from the medicine sector who rallied their resources and got groups like United Airlines and Amazon and Verizon to donate resources for free in order to see oxygen canisters and oxygen concentrators. Those are those machines that actually convert ambient air into breathable medical oxygen and ship them over to India. In fact, we were there on the tarmac when this United Airlines flight arrived with about 1,000 of these oxygenators aboard. We saw them offload the cargo and take it almost immediately over to people who were in desperate need and see them get those plastic tubes hooked up to them and breathing oxygen extremely quickly. It's really incredible the way that this group was able to rally their network and resources in order to get supplies donated from the United States. In fact, they continue to do it. Doing it from all around the world. It's a great organization. I couldn't recommend it more highly. But in the meantime, it's just a drop in the bucket. It's going to take time for these resources to catch up. And the real irony here is that India is one of the world's biggest producers of medical oxygen. So it begs the question, why are they having this shortage? Well, the problem is most of that oxygen is produced in the south and the east of the country, and where most of the cases of COVID are concentrated in the north, or at least that had been the case. Now, as I mentioned, it's becoming more and more diffused throughout the country, but just getting that oxygen to the people who need it in this sprawling country of 1.4 billion people is extremely complicated, and people are dying by the thousands as we try and solve that problem in logistics and supply chain.
Chris Livesay, CBS News, foreign correspondent. He's in Delhi. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.